blind mice. Three blind mice. See how they run. See how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife. She cut off their tail with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a sight in your life as three blind mice? Two blind men. Two blind men. See how they call. See how they call. Jesus asks, "What can I do for you?" Restores their sight, and they say, "Woohoo!" They follow him, which they could not do. Two blind men. You ever heard these before? No. That's an original creation for you. Well, today we're continuing our sermon series on the questions that Jesus asks in Scripture. And the question he asks these two blind men today is, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? As we begin, let's pray. Teach us your holy ways, O Lord, and let us walk in your truth. Teach us your holy ways, O Lord. Make us wholly devoted to you. Amen. Let me see a show of hands. How many of you remember learning to drive when you were younger? Remember learning to drive? You know who did it, who took you out and taught you. Have you ever taught someone to drive? Show of hands. Have you ever taught someone else to drive? Brave crowd. That's a dangerous thing to do. Learning to drive or teaching someone else to drive is dangerous business, because the person getting behind the wheel has absolutely no experience whatsoever, and they are taking control of a dangerous weapon. A car is full of power and speed and potential for danger. And then on the other hand, a car, as you learn to become a safe and good driver, can be a tool in your hand. It can get you places you couldn't go otherwise. And so, to become good drivers, there are a number of lessons you need to learn, skills you need to master as you get out onto the roadway. And one of the key lessons that every good driver needs to learn as they begin to learn about driving safely is about blind spots. It's about checking your blind spots. And you know about this. When you're driving along and you're looking through the windshield, straight ahead, you can see whatever's coming at you pretty clearly. And then if you check your rearview mirror or the side mirrors, either side, just a glance, you can see what's going on behind you. So you see what's going on ahead of you and behind you, and it can give you an incredible sense of security and safety, feeling that you know all that's going on, that you can see the picture clearly. You might even begin to think, aha, I can see it all. Aha, I've really got it down. Aha, now I can change lanes. But if you haven't checked your blind spot, if you haven't looked over your shoulder into that strange little space where your normal senses fail you, you're not seeing it all. In fact, you're putting yourself in danger of making a wrong turn, of getting in an accident, or causing one. You're not seeing clearly enough if you aren't checking your blind spot. A few weeks ago, I was driving down Route 95, going south through Providence towards the 195 interchange. The new 195 interchange is on the right-hand side, whereas the old 195 interchange was on the left-hand side, right? Sound like an old Rhode Islander. Go on down where the old 195 used to be. That's where the old Dunkin' Donuts used to be. You get the picture. So anyway, I was driving along, and in the left lane, there was a van, a minivan, driving just a little bit ahead of me, and I was driving, and all of a sudden, this van came over into my lane, cutting me off. I put on the brakes, I swerved to avoid this driver, and then the van just kept going into the next lane, and then cutting off a semi-truck, it just shot up onto the 195 exit, and it got out of there. And as it was passing me, as it was cutting me off, I looked, and I saw it was this woman on a cell phone, sort of talking, don't you hate it, and she was talking and driving, and she didn't look over her shoulder. She didn't pay attention to the blind spot. She just went for it. She just cut across four lanes of traffic to exit. It was as if she didn't know she had a blind spot at all. Well, our Old Testament story today, which we've just heard read, is about someone, a king named Solomon, who did know that he had a blind spot. Let me remind you of the story. King David was the greatest king in ancient Israel's history. And when he was old,
he chose his son Solomon to succeed him as king. Solomon inherited all the territory that his father David had united together, and all the riches of the kingdom, and all the power of a king. Ancient authorities tell us that Solomon was probably no more than 12 or 14 years old when he took over. Even modern scholars say Solomon couldn't have been older than 20 when he took on the heavy burdens of being king of Israel. And so God appeared to Solomon in a dream, and he said, God said, ask what I should give you. Essentially, what do you want me to do for you? And Solomon at this point was right at the beginning of his reign. He was in this transition time, changing lanes from one kind of life into the life of a king. And he realized that he had a blind spot. As king, there are no shortage of yes men, of people trying to get attached to his ear or gain influence over young Solomon. He knows that if he's going to successfully make it through all of this, he's going to need a discerning mind and to be able to tell right from wrong. So this is his blind spot, and he recognizes it. To be a good king, he needs wisdom. And he asks God for it. He asks God for a discerning mind and a deep understanding of people so that he could serve faithfully as king. Now, in our New Testament story today, the blind spot is even more clear because the people in the story are literally blind. They can't see. But when they hear that Jesus is the one who's walking by, they start to cry out to him. They start to call out, and they say, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And the crowd says, "Shush, keep it down over there. Have mercy on us, Son of David." And Jesus is walking by, and he hears them, and he stops. The Bible says he stood still, literally stopped in his tracks. He turns to them and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And in an amazing statement of faith, they say, "Lord, let our eyes be opened. We have faith, but we don't have understanding. We believe, but we can't see how to follow you." In the Bible, there's this connection between seeing and following. When people see or come to understand, they are led to follow, to begin to take steps of faith. Seeing leads to following. And so Jesus is filled with compassion for them, and he touches their eyes, and he heals them, gives them new sight. And the Bible records that they get up and follow him. Now, our great vocation, our great calling as believers, as we gather week by week around God's word and in worship together, is to see how God's story connects with our own stories, how God's story in Scripture helps us understand our own life situation, our own place in this world. So that is to say that this story of Jesus healing the blind men is somehow connected to our own need to be healed by Jesus of our blindnesses, of our short-sightedness, of our blind spots. And we all have blind spots, don't we? We all have blind spots not only in our car, but in our lives, in our ways of thinking, in our relationships, even in our life together. It was Socrates, I think, who said that the unexamined life is not worth living. And here we are again in this small hour, in the midst of an otherwise busy week, and we hear Jesus' question to us, "What do you want me to do for you?" And we are asked to examine ourselves, to look into our own lives and discover or recognize our blind spots, and then to ask God's help that we might faithfully live, that we might faithfully follow. At a recent Nurture Committee meeting of our church, you know, there are different committees in the church. One of them is Nurture. And we were meeting recently, making plans for Tuesday nights together. That's our TNT program that you've heard so much about in the papers, on media. No, you haven't heard about it, but it's great. And we were making plans for this program and that's going on this month. And TNT focuses on two things, two elements. First is fellowship around the tables at dinner. And then the second is learning and growing as we study scripture. scripture in small groups together. So these are the two things that TNT does really well. We deepen relationships with each other around the tables at dinner, and then we deepen our relationship with God through study and sharing time after that. And as we were meeting, we were planning out all the details, and the first thing that we were talking about was dinner. And every week, dinner is delicious. And so we were talking about that, and I guess someone in the group, you could say, checked their blind spot as we were making these plans. They checked their blind spot and said, you know, we're focusing on these two things, sort of fellowship and growth with God, and those are important things. Those are the focus points of our program together. But I was also thinking that in these hard economic times, isn't there some way we could also remember our neighbors who don't have enough to eat? As we gather around this delicious meal and share this great fellowship, is there some way we could share with someone who doesn't have as much to eat tonight, that their Tuesday night is not together, but it's alone? What a great thought. And so this last Tuesday, we announced to people and let them know that the dinner had been donated and that anything that they contributed into the basket would be sent on to Camp Street Ministries, which is right down the road, to their food pantry, to help feed those in our neighborhood who need a little help, need a little extra food. And maybe it was just a small thing for that person to notice, but it was a blind spot. It might have been a blind spot that they checked. We all have blind spots, even churches. We all have blind spots, even cities and states. I continue to read the news week by week about these dark economic clouds that seem to hang over Rhode Island and over our country. And I wonder how it's going to be possible for local government to balance the budget and get things moving again. That's a big question we all have. And the fear is that in the quest for economic recovery, for stronger businesses, that our state legislators, those making these decisions, they might also have a kind of blind spot. They might, in focusing on our economic recovery, they might lose sight of the poor, the unemployed, the very vulnerable in our society. And so our session, the session which is the elders of our church this month, decided to invite some of our elected officials here to worship with us on Sunday. It might be bold, but we're going to invite them. I don't know if they'll come. You might see them some Sunday. And we're going to invite them just to pray for them, let them know we're praying for them, and also to remind them to check their blind spots as they make legislation and decisions that affect so many. Ask them to check their blind spots when they make decisions that are going to affect the least of these in Rhode Island. We all have blind spots. Church programs have blind spots. Governments have blind spots. And we know that each of us have blind spots as well. I hope this morning you've begun to think a little bit more about what the blind spots might be in your life. Maybe some unexamined part of your life that keeps you from faithfully following where God is leading you. Can you identify it? Have you thought of it? And maybe you can't quite pin it down yet, what that would be for you. Maybe it will require some more thinking, but maybe this is the beginning of thinking through some of those areas in your life that you're not seeing clearly enough, where you need God's help to give you vision and understanding so you can follow. Remember our poem, Two Blind Men. Two Blind Men. See how they call. See how they call. Jesus asks, what can I do for you? Gives them sight, and they say, woohoo. They follow him, which they could not do. Two blind men. Taking your cue from this scripture this morning, will you examine yourself and identify your blind spot? Will you pray and ask God to help you overcome it? And then will you seek to follow Jesus more faithfully as God opens your eyes to see? This is my prayer for all of us this week. Amen. Will you join me in standing as we affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed, which is printed in your bulletin? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
For this week's Moment for Mishing, we'll be renewing our involvement in the One Great Hour of Sharing, one of the four special offerings we celebrate each year. Today I'll be reviewing the meaning of One Great Hour of Sharing, and over the next 3 weeks we'll be presenting stories from the three different areas benefiting from One Great Hour of Sharing. Finally, on Easter Sunday, we'll dedicate the One Great Hour of Sharing offering. One Great Hour of Sharing is a special offering that is dedicated equally to three different causes. Firstly, it gives to the Presbyterian Hunger Program for ministries working to alleviate hunger and eliminate its causes, responding with compassion and justice to poor and hungry people in local communities, the nation, and throughout the world, as well as ministries addressing homelessness and affordable housing. Secondly, it gives to Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, which focuses on the long-term recovery of disaster-impacted communities, provides training and disaster preparedness for presbyteries and synods, and enables congregations to witness the healing love of Christ through caring for communities adversely affected by crisis and catastrophic events. Finally, it gives to self-development of people, forging partnerships with groups of people who are oppressed by poverty or social systems, who want to take charge of their own lives, have organized to do something about their own condition, and have decided what they need to do to produce long-term benefits for themselves. Over the next 3 weeks, we'll hear more about the people involved in these organizations. Please open your hearts and allow yourself to be inspired to help those less fortunate. And in order to do so, we have these sharing calendars available.